Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick, and you are listening to another episode of Who's Reading the Organon. Today's inspirational quotes are all about making mistakes. The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. That is a quote by John Powell. Elbert Hubbard, from The Notebook in 1927, wrote, "The greatest mistake you can make in life is to be continually fearing you will make one." That would hold you back, wouldn't it? And there's another quote by F. Witzek, "If you don't make mistakes, you're not working on hard enough problems, and that's a big mistake." Now, here's one more quote about mistakes. That is from Niels Bohr. He says, "An expert is a man who has made all the mistakes which can be made in a very narrow field." And I just want to say a couple of words about Niels Bohr. He was one person whose investigations have made a major change in the understanding of our physical world. Niels Bohr pondered the implications of Planck's quantum theory of radiation and his study of the structure of atoms on the basis of Rutherford's discovery of the atomic nucleus made us take a closer look at our previous theories. The world recognized Niels Bohr's work on the structure of atoms by giving him the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1922. And, you know, today everyone's eyes, ears, and sensations are listening and watching the Gulf of Mexico and this catastrophic oil spill. What kinds of lessons can we learn here? And will we take them to heart? Will we really change the way we do things and handle these kinds of problems? Was there a preventative message here, a preventative that we could have stopped this from even occurring to begin with? I just feel so disheartened by the devastation to our world and the implications that I just am kind of emotional about this issue. And please take a look at the blog that is on HWC regarding the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. And I believe Vera is with us, and she has her own little quotes to talk about. And we want to discuss also that this is just two people studying together, listening to each other, having a conversation, and enabling through the technology of the internet and radio for other people to listen in with us.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Vera.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I went on and on today because I'm really upset about the oil spill.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I wanted to
get on track.
I wanted to carry on with what you were saying. In a way, what we hope to do with this radio show is to present a model for people to study Organon together, to read Organon together, in a way that doesn't have to be perfectionist, doesn't have to be brilliant. We're two friends homeopaths having a talk about the Organon. And we'll be very happy to hear if any other people decide to set up in twosomes or threesomes, just to read the Organon, to read it through, to read parts that they never read before. We know there is such a thing. Very often in school, you just start the first few aphorisms and then maybe dip into a few more, and that's it for the Organon for the next 10 years. I actually wanted to read from Boninghausen. He's quoted in Dimitriadis's the Boninghausen Repertory. And it's in the Lesser Writings 23 footnote. Boninghausen tells us from the past, his words are echoing down the corridors of the present and the future, sadly. He says, "It seems actually at present to be a rarity and an exception when any homeopath again consults the Organon of Healing. And I know several who do not even possess and have never read this book." Anyone squirming in their seats yet? "And yet it is indisputably the basis of the homeopathic healing art. And besides, so many valuable grains of gold are enclosed within it that at every repetition of the reading of this remarkable book, especially when read by the older practicing and experienced homeopathic physicians, ever new and important instruction and intelligence may be gained, so that its neglect cannot be too sharply reproved." And what do you think of that?
It's a beautiful quote. And as we get older, we are in a different place. We have gained so much more knowledge and experience in our life that we can reap many more gems from the rereading of the Organon. And now I understand why, from the very beginning, on the first day, you said we would be doing this every year. it's a spiral. You just go in further and further into your understanding as you develop in life.
And I think also it's completely legit to come back and say, "I thought this meant X and I was totally wrong and I understood it incorrectly," and to constantly revise your learning. In the same case, as sometimes we come back to a case that we've worked with and we think, "How could I have prescribed that? I totally misunderstood it." I think this happens as well. It's learning, and learning is always an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, Debbie, I thought...
Go ahead.
I thought maybe we'll just reread 274, because it was a long aphorism that we kind of put in at the end, and then we'll go into 275.
Okay, I'll let you read.
Okay, I'm reading again from Berica's 6th edition, but I believe Dudgeon's 5th is identical on this, for those who are into the translations. "As the true physician finds in simple medicines, administered singly and uncombined, all that he can possibly desire, artificial disease forces which are able by homeopathic power completely to overpower, extinguish, and permanently cure natural diseases, he will, mindful of the wise maxim that it is wrong to attempt to employ complex means when simple means suffice, will never think of giving as a remedy any but a single, simple medicinal substance. For these reasons also, because even though the simple medicines were thoroughly proved with respect to their pure, peculiar effects on the unimpaired, healthy state of man, yet it is impossible to foresee how two or more medicinal substances might, when compounded, hinder and alter each other's actions on the human body. And because, on the other hand, a simple medicinal substance, when used in diseases, the totality of whose symptoms is accurately known, renders efficient aid by itself alone if it be homeopathically selected. And supposing the worst case to happen, that it was not chosen in strict conformity to similarity of symptoms, and therefore does no good, we've all been there, it is yet so far useful that it promotes our knowledge of therapeutic agents, because by the new symptoms excited by it in such a case, those symptoms which this medicinal substance had already shown in experiments on the healthy human body are confirmed, an advantage that is lost by the employment of all compound remedies." So basically, with compound remedy, you can't have method. You don't know what you're doing. You're not based on proving. You don't know what's making a difference. And when something goes wrong, you also don't know what's causing it to go wrong. So we summed this one as the kiss aphorism, the keep it simple, stupid aphorism.
Aha. Uh-huh. Very good.
And I think we can move on to 275. Do you have any more comment that you'd like to make on 274, Debbie?
I think I'll wait till next year. I think we'll keep going.
It's funny. It's like we should have once a year an all-night Organon Fest.
An all-nighter, huh? Okay.
Yeah. But
so
maybe
we're
not.
Move to 275.
Right.
Do you want me to read?
Or
do you have something?
I think I prefer to read this from Berica. There's a problem within this aphorism where we have the question of what is too strong a dose. So let's possibly read from Berica and from O'Reilly and compare the translations.
I don't have my O'Reilly in front of me.
What do you have?
I think it is Berica. So is it the suitableness?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And aphorism 275, the suitableness of a medicine for any given case of disease does not depend on its accurate homeopathic selection alone, but likewise on the proper size, or rather smallness, of the dose. You want me to continue?
Yeah, keep going.
If we give too strong a dose of a medicine, which may have been even quite homeopathically chosen for the morbid state before us, it must, notwithstanding the inherent beneficial character of its nature, prove injurious by its mere magnitude and by the unnecessary too strong impression which, by virtue of its homeopathic similarity of action, it makes upon the vital force which it attacks, and through the vital force, upon those parts of the organism which are the most sensitive and are already most affected by the natural disease. Now, we need to take a breath when reading Hahnemann.
He challenges us
to say it all in one breath.
Right, right. But as is my tendency, I like to start at the end. He's talking about a too strong remedy which attacks. It attacks the vital force. And it reminds me a little bit of how if you're sitting with someone and he's about to say something you don't want him to say, you could kick him under the table, right? You could kick him gently and get the effect that you want. However, if you kick him too hard, then you might not get the effect you desire, as you will end up with someone yelping and saying, "Why did you do that?"
Well, when you kick somebody under the table, is it preventative? I mean, can you tell by the facial expression and the gesture that something's about to happen or be said?
It can be preventative. It can be also when you know from the situation that something is about to be said because it's inevitable. And then a well-placed kick in suitable gentle force will achieve the intent of curing the situation that is about to arise. Symptoms that have probably been shown.
I think it depends on who you're kicking.
I suppose it also depends on the shoes, but
and in a way, yes, the shoe probably has quite a bit to do with it. whether it's a sneaker, a slipper, or a pointy hard, you know, high heel. But in a way, this little scenario that you've proposed here is something that the players, the people who are doing this interaction, have done it before. In other words, they couldn't know what's about to be said unless it's a pattern that they've been in previously, or they've had some sort of an understanding of the subject matter and what could be said.
to bring it back to the exact track, we're talking about giving too strong a dose. So I'm in my deeply intellectual and sophisticated metaphor, I refer to kicking. But too strong a dose, I think the biggest question is what looks like a massive dose? And I think that's one of the hard things in homeopathy. I remember taking my daughter to a dentist we weren't familiar with, who apparently used homeopathy but didn't tell me what he was going to do. And as my daughter sat in the chair, he pulled out three or four bottles and put these drops into her mouth. It was a massive dose. I mean, I had to pump this kid full of coffee afterwards to antidote, but it was a massive dose. Only it didn't look like a massive dose to him. It just looked like a few little drops from a few innocent bottles that he uses to make an impression, perhaps. And I think that's the problem, even in conventional medicine. So you take three small pills of a painkiller. It doesn't look like a massive dose.
Right. In conventional the conventional pharmacy, it's always bewildered me that I could be prescribed to take the same amount of medication as someone who's 100 pounds larger than me. And the fact that I might be a very sensitive individual to even the smallest amount of medication in the first place, I always say, give half. So it's individual sensitivity that's very important also.
But some people really feel it's not too strong a dose to tell people to take three globules of a remedy in 200 c three times a day for a month and a half, because it doesn't look like too strong a dose. And I hear these kinds of dosings the whole time, and a lot of patients are very happy with them because they feel they're taking medicine every day. Uh-huh. And it fits the allopathic model that, you know, take three a day for the rest of your life. I think that part of what's involved here is developing a certain respect for the substance, for the remedies.
Well, as you know, and as I've learned from you, I take awe in the remedies and their potential and their minimum dose. And so I've learned a lot from you during the course of our discussions. And I'm more cautious now. The allopathic model is something that we're ingrained with, just doing a routine dose, you know, take an antibiotic for 5 days or 10 days or steroids, and then you do have to slowly withdraw from them because of the impression it's made on the system. So I think there's a lot to learn here in Aphorism 275. Hahnemann is giving us a good lesson.
But I think part of the lesson that's interesting is what he's saying, is he's saying that if you give too strong a dose or too strong a kick, you are attacking the vital force. And therefore, it's a bit like, forgive another feet analogy, but if someone taps your foot, it's one thing if you have sensitive feet, but if someone jumps on your feet, it's painful and it's hitting the most sensitive part. One of the ways that I explain aggravation to patients is that it's a bit similar to when a doctor is prodding the patient and asking, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? And finally, they reach the spot that has you sticking to the ceiling and needing to be peeled off. And they say, oh, I found the right place. And very often an aggravation can also show this gentle prodding of the remedy and hopefully a gentle aggravation which shows you got the right place. But if you prod too hard, then you can cause more damage in that right place. And I think that's a bit of what Hahnemann is trying to say here, in the same way as there are those doctors who can prod too hard and rupture something in the patient, although I'm not sure that actually happens.
In a way, it's something like using the right tool if you use the wrong tool to do something, you're going to cause damage or harm, or it's going to be overwhelming for the situation. And if you use the correct tool, then it will be just right, and it will repair whatever is in need of fixing.
I think also there's the size of the tool. If you try to hammer in the nail with an appropriate hammer, then chances are your nail will go where you want it to go. If you decide to use a sledgehammer for it, you're going to destroy the nail, your hand, and probably the wall as well.
Yes, I had that image in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was talking about a tool, you know, not just the whether you use a screwdriver or a hammer or a chisel, but the size is very, very important. And I was picturing what you had so eloquently said.
I think also another point we need to bring out, thank you for the compliment, another point we need to bring out in this aphorism is that Hanuman is talking about too strong a dose. He's talking about the proper size or the smallness of the dose. And he's talking about the dose of a remedy that's a good remedy. The remedy was homeopathically chosen. It's beneficial. But because it's so heavy in its dose, it's going to destroy the case. And I think that's something that could be a bit difficult to identify. Yeah, we're talking over each other. Speak, Debbie.
I'm sorry. I was just confirming that your hammer metaphor for that is perfect. That you or even selecting the correct golf club on the golf course. You know, you use the putter for the right thing, a small tap, a gentle tap, and you use the I don't know what you. I'm not a golfer. Help me out here.
I never played golf in my life. I can think of use of golf clubs for other purposes, not necessarily beneficial, but I've never really attacked a golf ball. What?
You get the idea, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We could also go into the concept of trying to hammer a nail in with a golf club, but I think that complicates the metaphors.
Oh, but I have used the back of a shoe. Okay, so where are we in our aphorism?
So we're talking
about 275. Yes.
We're talking about the suitableness of the dose. When the dose is too large, or a dose can harm, even because it's homeopathic. Because it's homeopathic and too strong, it's like jumping and hitting all the sensitive points in the person. You know, you could be saying the right words to someone, but if you yell them too loud, you'll destroy the other person. If you say them quietly, you'll build them. You'll repair them. We actually skipped the footnote for 274. Should we go back to it or just some other time? What do you think? We're destroying the flow.
We're doing pretty good. I think we're really getting... does it apply? Do you think that it's going to fit in right here?
It doesn't fit in right here. Let's just read 276, and then we'll go back to it. We'll start with that missing footnote next session. 276.
Okay.
For this reason, a medicine, even though it may be homeopathically suited to the case of disease, does harm in every dose that is too large. And in strong doses, it does more harm the greater its homeopathicity and the higher the potency selected. And it does much more injury than any equally large dose of a medicine that is unhomeopathic and in no respect adapted to the morbid state. I.e., if you're yelling at someone very loudly in a language they do not understand, they will less likely be offended. But if you yell at someone in a language they understand perfectly, the greater the homeopathicity, the higher the damage. Moral of the lesson is always curse in a foreign language.
I just had this image of, you know, when you're speaking to someone who speaks a different language and you just speak louder.
Yeah, Americans do that to me, Debbie.
Who does that?
Americans do that to me.
They do.
Well, they think that I don't speak the same language. Anyway, let's carry on with the other part of the aphorism, because we only have five minutes left, I see. Two large doses of an accurately chosen homeopathic medicine, and especially when frequently repeated, bring about much trouble as a rule. They put the patient not seldom in danger of life or make his disease almost incurable. They do indeed extinguish the natural disease so far as the sensation of the life principle is concerned, and the patient no longer suffers from the original disease from the moment the too strong dose of the homeopathic medicine acted upon him, but he is in consequence more ill with a similar but more violent medicinal disease, which is most difficult to destroy.
This is heavy-duty stuff here, and I wanted to refer to the fact that when you purchase a remedy bottle in the store, it has instructions on it normally to just say, I don't know whether it says take three every so many hours. And so here's a bottle right here. It says directions. Adults or children, dissolve 3 or 5 pellets under the tongue 3 times a day, or as directed by physician. If symptoms persist for more than 3 days or worsen, consult your physician. So I do want to make a note of this to anyone listening, that we're given instructions on the bottle when you purchase it, but that doesn't mean that you need to follow those in the way that's given.
I think it's also coming back to the point of respect again. Because the remedies are so easily available over the counter, people tend to think that they are what they look like, sugar pills, and maybe they'll help, maybe they won't, so let's pop some more of them. And I think the moral here really is homeopathy is a medicine, and before you take homeopathic remedies, you should consult with a homeopath. To my mind,
right.
that's very much part of it.
I think today's world, it puts people at a difficult position. A lot of people today cannot afford medical care, so they're looking for self-help. And people also have the internet very close at hand, where they can search and study about things and feel that they might just test the waters, and they'll see what happens. I don't know, but that's one of the reasons we're doing the show. To open it up to the public and let them know the complexity and the philosophy and the theory and the understanding behind practicing homeopathy.
Right. I think the whole concept is very interesting, because I think also we as homeopaths occasionally find ourselves popping remedies. Sometimes I see cases where homeopaths are treating themselves, and they are taking a lot more remedies, or much, much larger doses than they would ever prescribe to a patient. Anyway,
Go ahead, sum up for today.
Never wear stiletto heels.
Never wear? Maybe.
Stiletto heels.
I don't know about wearing them, but it's more like using them. Well, I'm going to ponder this one. Don't use the right tool for the job.
Okay, I'll probably put something up on my blog that will be a summary as well.
Thank you. I think we're into the fourth week now.
Wow.
If that can be true. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Do take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Thank you so much, Vera.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.